The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 30. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast. I am your host, Leo Sowers, along with the Liberty Dog himself, Gino. And I tell you, it's getting a little cold out here in Georgia. Well, cold for me. I am a wimp when it comes to cold weather. If it's below 50, I'm having a bad time. And when it's in the lower 60s, I'm not really happy either. But we're trying to keep warm. We're doing our best, adjusting to the new Georgia climate, at least for us. And before we get started with this week's episode, I want to remind you guys about the Coffee Break Liberty store at coffeebreakliberty.com. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, there is a tab for the store, and I want you to click on it and check it out because you are going to see the best mugs you're ever going to find. They're the best mugs, guys. You're not going to find any better mugs on the planet. But there's more than mugs, though, right? There's mugs, there's stickers, there's laptop cases, there's phone cases, shirts, all the stuff you want with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on it. And when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, I want you to hang out for about 10 to 15 seconds on the homepage there, and you're going to get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. And when you sign up for that newsletter, you're going to also get 10% off of your first order from the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com and check it out and get yourself a mug. And the first topic of this week's podcast is going to be the vaccination mandate stay that was implemented by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've been paying attention to it around here, and if hopefully you have too, right? The Biden administration via OSHA put in a mandate that all companies with 100 plus employees need to have their employees vaccinated for COVID, or they're going to face steep fines. And if they don't get vaccinated, they can be exempt through medical exemption or religious exemption, but they will have to be tested weekly. And if they aren't tested weekly, then also steep fines for the company. This was brought up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they put a stay on it. Pretty much they put a stop to it. Okay, so they put a stop to it for several reasons. One of the main reasons as to why they put a stop to the vaccine mandate was because of the burden that was going to be put on the employee. And nothing was made clear in any of this, right? Nothing's made clear in the mandate policy. You know, who's going to have to pay for this? Who's going to have to pay for that? It looks like the employee would have to pay for the COVID testing. In some places I've seen, when I had to get tested at least, that was $100 if you wanted the rapid test. I've also seen $20 tests at CVS. Who knows what would be accepted? Nobody has any idea which one's actually going to be qualified and, you know, blessed off by OSHA and all that. Another reason, though, that the Fifth Circuit stopped this was that they pointed out that this is not in OSHA's purview. And then they went further into even questioning whether OSHA should exist, which is pretty awesome. We'll see how far that goes. I doubt it's going to stop OSHA. But it's pretty good when you do have an appellate court like that questioning whether OSHA should even exist, because the excuse that they give it, right, the overall reasoning is that, oh, it's the Commerce Clause. That's why OSHA can exist, because Congress is allowed to regulate interstate commerce. So yeah, they have the power to create OSHA. Sure, great. Then why isn't it an executive function? Won't get into that though. So we're really going to keep our eyes on that, you know, what comes from that. And another thing that was going on with the OSHA mandate, the Biden administration mandate, was that it got pushed back a month. So clearly they weren't even ready, right? They put this mandate out in September, or they talked about it rather in August. Then it came out in September, not to be implemented until December. And now they even pushed it back another month until January. And then there's all this, you know, language in the mandate about how this is a COVID emergency. Well, if it's a COVID emergency, how do you keep pushing it back? You've now waited 4 or 5 months? That doesn't sound like an emergency. When I have an emergency, my house is on fire and I leave the house, right? That's an emergency. These guys treat an emergency like, I don't know, the way you would treat something that isn't an emergency. And that's another area that the Fifth Circuit Court attacked the stay on, attacked the mandate on. It's clearly not an emergency if you're doing that. If you're continually pushing back the deadline, that's not how you treat emergencies. So we'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully this really puts a stop to it. I think, you know, this may end up going in our favor. I hate using that kind of collectivist language, but I hope it's going to go in our favor eventually, and they're going to put a stop to this. That's the first appeal of it, right? And the first stay. I don't know exactly what the next step is and when it would make its way to the Supreme Court, because that's eventually where it's going to have to be fought. Maybe. We'll see, though. We'll see if the Biden administration even has, you know, the cojones to want to fight it and try to defend it and in the appellate court. So we're all keeping our eyes on that, hoping that it kind of gets stopped. Not kind of, but actually gets stopped. Time will tell, but we're definitely going to keep you updated here at Coffee Break Liberty, right? The second topic that I want to talk about this week, it's going to be the last one, is the Rittenhouse verdict and case. We kind of stayed away from it here. We did drop some memes on the Facebook page. Hopefully you all got a kick out of those. If you haven't been paying attention, Kyle Rittenhouse, well, he went to trial for, they tried to charge him with murder. Two murder charges, some weapons charges, I think aggravated assault with a deadly weapon or something like that, reckless endangerment, things like that. He was found not guilty on all charges. And when that happened, Twitter went wild. Twitter went re. There was a gasp from the left, and I don't understand how there could have been, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But any of us that did watch the case, that paid attention to this, could tell from the videos that came out over a year ago. This is self-defense. If you are attacked by anybody, you've got a right to defend yourself. You know, especially like if you're in public places, right? Which is where Rittenhouse was. He was in public places. He was on a street, of all things. That's about as public as it can get. And he was attacked by three different people. And he shot two of them. And then the other place, he was on private property. But that person was attacking him, and he shot him. What was really troubling over the last several months, call it a year or whatever, that you'll see about the Rittenhouse case is the lies that came out about it. From the cathedral, the mainstream media, whatever you want to get, the corporate media, right? The corporate media was just spreading absolute lies, and they were pushing it. And when other things would be pushed that were total falsehoods, the mainstream media would not, the corporate media rather, would not come in to defend Kyle, right? They would just let, well, they called him a white supremacist. You know, there's no evidence that he's a white supremacist, but, you know, we're not going to stop people from calling him that. We're not going to, you know, put a stop to that. We're not going to challenge that. Oh, it turns out he was legally allowed to have a gun in that situation. But we're just going to let people run with the idea that he illegally crossed state lines with a rifle, and somehow that still negates his right to defend himself. We all know that it doesn't. The right to defend yourself isn't, it shouldn't be, but sadly it is in the United States, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But it shouldn't be dictated by what imaginary lines you cross on a map. It's a human right to defend yourself, especially when people are using deadly force against you. Especially when people are trying to disarm you to use that weapon against you. That's one thing that the prosecutors wanted to try and convince the jury that the first guy who only used his hands was just going to disarm Kyle and keep the weapon and not use it against Kyle. What? So now Rosenbaum, Josh Rosenbaum, the first guy that got killed by Kyle, is now some sort of hero. This guy that has been touching children serially, right, in Pima County, a county that I lived in, touched five children sexually, got charged and convicted. But yeah, now he's turned a new leaf at the protest in Kenosha. He's no longer a criminal. He's no longer in that lifestyle. He's just here to make the world a better place. He's just here to disarm Kyle and turn that weapon over to the authorities, or just totally just disarm him, take the firing pin out and throw it to the ground. You know, make the weapon useless. That was his plan, I'm sure. That's what the prosecution wanted you to believe. It's a farce. How the prosecution could come in there and even think anybody would buy that argument is insane. It's a failure on their part. But it's what you get. You know, these are government stooges. And to be fair, I don't know how much they were really pressured, you know, from outside forces, you know, on them to actually try this case. But you don't hear about it, so I don't know about it, right? But I don't know if maybe there was enough pressure from businesses, owners in the area, or politicians in the area to say, hey, no, that you DA, you district attorney, you prosecutor, you better charge this kid. I really don't. But you don't hear about any of that, so I have to presume that the prosecutor went on their own accord, that they went for it themselves, that there was no outside pressure. We didn't hear about any of it, that's for sure. The only place you saw people getting upset about it, not in Kenosha. There's no protests and riots going on right now in Kenosha about it. Last I checked, there could be. I could be totally wrong by the time this podcast comes out, because I know in Portland there's riots over a verdict in a case several states away. Go figure. Portland leading the way. So we don't know, though, other than, you know, Twitter, right? That's the only place you really saw a lot of pressure from, at least at a national level. You know, I don't live in Kenosha. I don't live in that area. I don't live in Wisconsin. I don't live in Illinois in that area. So maybe there was local pressure that I'm unaware of. There could have been. But it really looks like, at least from where most Americans are sitting, that it was the DA, you know, the prosecutors, the district attorney, that came up with this and decided, no, we're going to press charges. We're going to go forward with this. And you saw how much of a disaster that was if you paid any attention to what was going on. And then that leads me to how underprepared the defense was. So when you do cases like this for the defense, and let's understand too that this defense was done pro bono, because Rittenhouse does not come from a rich family where they could afford a lawyer team like this. So it was done pro bono, and they didn't do the best. I mean, I don't want to say they could have done a better job. They did a good enough job to where he wasn't charged with anything, right? Or he wasn't convicted of anything, I should say. But they didn't have a weapons expert. They didn't have their own medical examiner. Those are two huge, huge things that a defense team would want to have. These guys didn't have it. Maybe I'm totally missing the boat here, and I don't understand why they didn't have it. Maybe that was part of their plan. But you look at any other case, you're going to have your own medical examiner. That's your own expert witness. You're going to have two expert witnesses, right, in a case like this. You're going to want them. That's textbook. You're going to want a weapons expert. You're going to want a medical examiner, things like this. They didn't have either one of those as expert witnesses. Those are vital in cases like this. So it shows you where the prosecution just failed and the defense failed Kyle. Granted, like I said, it turned out to be okay in the end. Maybe they figured the prosecution was going to do so poorly that they didn't have to bring in expert witnesses. That's just something to keep in mind, though, when people also bring up about how biased the judge was in the case. And that's been brought up quite a bit. I can understand some of that argument, right? It looks a little bad when he says certain language is prohibited in the courthouse, when he tells the prosecution that they're not doing well in the courthouse. He told them that at one point. But there are also two chances where he could have thrown the case out for a mistrial in favor of the defense. One of those mistrials would have led to the case could not be tried again, to my understanding. I could totally be wrong. Let me clarify. I'm not a lawyer, but it's my understanding that if the case is thrown out for the prosecution withholding evidence, the case cannot be tried again. Somebody's going to hear this, somebody's going to know the truth to that, and they're going to say I'm wrong, and if they are a lawyer, they're right, because I could be wrong on that, but it's my understanding that if the prosecution is withholding evidence, it is thrown out for a mistrial for that reason, you can't try the case again. The other chance that the judge could have thrown it out for mistrial was jury tampering. You had a producer from MSNBC following the jurors' bus when they left the courthouse. It's trying to intimidate the jury. What is going on? So the next day, you know, the judge did the right thing. He kicked MSNBC and NBC reporters and such out of the courtroom later. And another thing we've seen a lot, though, from Twitter, right? We saw pressure from Twitter to have this trial. And then we saw pressure from Twitter, or whatever you want to call it, saying things like, well, if he was black, he wouldn't have gotten a fair trial. He wouldn't have gotten this. He would have been shot dead. Okay, you know what? You might be right. You might be right. But that doesn't forfeit Kyle Rittenhouse's right to a fair trial. Because somebody else did not get one, that does not forfeit his right to a fair trial. This is one thing I don't understand. They bring, you know, the left brings this up, and I understand their frustration with somebody else not getting a fair trial. Fair enough. But you should not then be upset when somebody does get a fair trial. That doesn't make any sense. You should want the justice system to work. Now, I don't believe it does work, but you should want it to work fairly across the board. So honestly, you should be excited. You should be happy when a black guy gets acquitted of a crime he wasn't guilty of, and a white guy gets acquitted of a crime he wasn't guilty of, and all in between. But you don't see that. You see people upset that Kyle got off. Like, they bring that up constantly. It's very strange, and I simply don't understand it. I mean, is the left showing everybody how backwards racist they are or something? It doesn't even make sense. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine today, and she was definitely on the other end of the spectrum about this. She brought that up 3 times. It doesn't matter. She brought up, I forget his first name, I think it was Tamir Rice, that 12-year-old that was killed, I believe it was in Cleveland or Cincinnati, for having a toy gun. Yes, a very bad and tragic incident, and it should not have happened. But what does that have to do with the Kyle Rittenhouse in Wisconsin in 2020? What does that have to do with that? Nothing. That has nothing to do with that. But to some people, they're related. Somehow, you can compare those two. One was defending himself from attackers, and another was a kid playing in a park with a plastic toy gun, and the cops just came up and shot him. Okay, you know, like, yeah, what happened to Rice? I don't think it should have happened to Rice. I think it could have been handled a lot better. But that doesn't mean Kyle Rittenhouse doesn't deserve a fair trial because Rice was killed by cops. That's not what that means. They have nothing to do with each other. It's wild. I mean, yeah, there are issues with the criminal justice system, right? With the American criminal justice system, but justice systems in general. I talked about this on a podcast last week. You know, it's an old quote from John Brom: control the coinage and the courts, and let the rabble have the rest. So what I'm getting around to is, you know, we understand that the justice system is a classist system. And classism and racism have gone hand in hand throughout all of human history. So if you want to call it a racist system, that's fine, but understand that it's also a classist system. You want to call it a classist system, that's fine, but also understand that there's racism in there as well. They go hand in hand. The rich and powerful, they don't go to jail. If Kyle Rittenhouse and his mom were left to getting a lawyer themselves on their own dime, they wouldn't be able to afford one. So they'd probably have to go public defender or go broke trying to afford a lawyer. So they're lucky that this law firm went pro bono for them. They really are. They really are, because they would be broke otherwise. So as odd as it sounds, they are lucky that it was such a national, you know, it was in the zeitgeist, right? Everybody knew about this case. Had it not been that way, Kyle would probably be behind bars right now, because some public defender would have been the only person defending him. And let's be frank, they're not that good. It's just the way it is. But yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse acquitted of all charges. We'll see what happens with the families if they try to sue him. It would not surprise me if they do. We've seen a lot of talk about Rittenhouse, but not from Rittenhouse himself, but from outside sources, you know, suggesting that Rittenhouse could and should take to court the corporate media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, all these people that, you know, labeled him a white supremacist. I mean, goodness. Joe Biden, El Presidente, sleepy, you know, Jim Crow Joe Biden, labeled him a white supremacist. That's your commander-in-chief. What's funny, though, is that Joe Biden was actually under anesthesia for a colonoscopy, I think it was at the time, while the verdict was read. So Kamala Harris was actually, you know, acting president. So that's the best thing that's happened in her term. And, you know, it's only a couple hours long, if that, like an hour and a half. So that's pretty awesome. But it's a joke, and it shouldn't have gone to trial. But what's come to light about this, for me personally, and maybe you guys have seen it too, and I don't know how to navigate this right now. I wish I did. But what we're seeing is, or at least what I've seen, how do I want to word this? A lot of my friends' reaction to the Rittenhouse case and verdict make me really question if I would ever want them to be a character witness for me in a case where I had to defend myself. Because they seem more concerned about if I should have been there, if the weapon was legal, rather than if you have a human right to defend yourself. That has been a very troubling thing for me that I've seen from my friends and now some family members. And I hope nobody else is dealing with this. I should probably be talking to a shrink about this, or my friends and family members, to be honest. But I don't know how to navigate it. I wish I did. It's very eye-opening how I did not think this verdict would be this polarizing. Clearly, I was wrong. I don't get it right all the time. I don't always see it coming, let's put it that way. But hopefully it gets better. Things will calm down. Before I sign off this week, guys, I want to remind you about the affiliate program that I am a part of. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com and in the upper portion of the page, there is an affiliate tab. And I want you to click on that affiliate tab. And you're going to get to read about the affiliate program that I am a part of. In short, I'm an affiliate of Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting company that, well, hosts this website and podcast. And when you click on that tab and you read about it, I want you to sign up for your website. I want you to get a website. Everybody should have a website. And when you use my link with Bluehost, you're going to get a discounted rate and free publicity on the podcast, the Facebook page, the Twitters, the personal accounts. You're going to reach thousands of people right off the bat with your new webpage if you use my affiliate link on my affiliate page. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com and check it out. And one other note before I sign off, we are now on Apple Podcasts and Google. That's right. Finally, I did the legwork, which wasn't a whole lot of legwork. just a little trickery. But we are now on Apple Podcasts and Google. So if you go search for Coffee Break Liberty in Apple Podcasts or Google Play, I believe it is. Whatever you want to call it. Google Podcast. We're there. Coming to Pandora soon enough, I hope. And hopefully Spotify. But right now, Apple and Google are the biggest ones. And that's where we're at. So go check us out there and share it with your friends. But with that, until the next time, take care.